I don't know. I don't know. What I do know is this is the news, according to me. What do you know? Hey. Hey, folks, it is Friday, Financial Friday, Fiduciary Friday, May 1st, first day of the month, fifth month of the year. The year is practically over. It's 7:34 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's why I have morning voice, because it's so early right here. I've got the morning voice thing going on. You can hear that kind of, it's kind of a little, good morning. Well, it's, what are you doing this morning? Well, why is everything so fuzzy? The, including my voice. Anyway, I have a few of you. It's in a world. It's time to do my movie trailer voice. In a world filled with lactose intolerance. We have, I don't know. I'm just making stuff up as I go. I just turn the brain loose and let it fly, and that's where we end up. I have welcome to the show. We have it's 2026, by the way, in case you didn't know what the year was. I have chai. I'm at the home studio this morning. Boy, my voices are actually really kind of we got this cold kind of rain thing happening again. This always messes with my sinuses. It gets down to I think yesterday morning was 35, and then it gets rainy. It's just like cold, wet rain, damp. Everything's damp. There's probably all kinds of mold outside everywhere, all kinds of mildew everywhere, leaves left over from last year. Got all this growth coming up, happening. Things are spawning and spewing out pollen. I don't know. It's just this mix of everything that's out there just kind of tends to make my, I don't know. We got a air filter system in our bedroom. I'm surprised it's gonna get wet. But then we also have two cats and two dogs. So the poor little air filter can't keep up. I don't think it's pretty pathetic. Yeah, I think my wife just changed the filter on that thing, and it was pretty nasty. It was pretty nasty. Just saying. Anyway, I got in my cup, I have chai, nice hot chai, which I didn't have yesterday I had chai, but it wasn't. Yeah. This is my big train chai. And it's so hot, I can't really drink it. It's got Cinnabon creamer in there. I have a backup cup today, thankfully. It's icy cold. That's some cold stuff right there. Sweet peach tea. Yeah. I'm chewing on ice. Anyway, a little ASMR for you. Whatever. I'll get right on the microphone. That's old man ASMR. I have a lot of things to get into today. Normally we'd talk about financial stuff. We're going to talk about financial stuff. I'm not sure what direction I want to go with this yet. There's so many things we could do. I probably won't do anything. That's what happens with somebody who's ADHD. Somebody who has a typically multipotential. I have a lot of issues with that kind of stuff. There's so many different directions you can go. You don't go anywhere, and that's kind of what I do in real life. I have so many things I can do. Like I've got all these tools. I got all this stuff. I can pretty much build, create just about anything. I got plasma torches and welders and tools and cutting stuff and metal, plastic, laser, 3D printer stuff. Got all this stuff. I don't do anything. Sit there wondering what I should do because there's a million things I could do. I just don't know which one to do. If I start doing one thing, I might miss out on doing something else. So why bother doing anything? Because I'll just miss out on everything that way. That way I'm missing out on everything equally. I feel better about that. As long as I get sweet tea, I'll sit there and drink my chai and think about it. So that's just kind of the way we are. Just, of course, now the music thing, I can get wrapped up in that pretty quickly and just go hog wild nuts down the tube with that thing, which I kind of have recently. Don't worry, it's just a phase. I'll get over it. I'll be on to the next thing here shortly. But you know, sales are through the roof. That it's got a hole in my roof. I have got a few things. Let's see, which one is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I want to make sure I count where that's at because I want to make sure I go back to that. I want to look at something here. Statistics. Yeah, they're still down there. There's nothing going on there. Nothing to look at. Nothing to see here. Move along. Nothing to see here. I have, let's just look at the geographic stuff. Just Sayville, New York. Where's that? Well, welcome to the show. Yes. Bellevue, Washington. Welcome to the show. Ashburn, Virginia. These are top cities. Los Angeles. Oh, Los Angeles. Oh, City of Angels. Yeah. No, London. Yeah, London's right up there. They're in the top 10. That's surprising, actually, to me. I don't know. Ashburn, Virginia. Springfield, Massachusetts. I don't think I've ever been there. Hanoi is in the top 10. Is that top 10? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, it's in the top 10. Unbelievable. Beat out Fort Wayne, Indiana. Chicago, of course, Cambridge. We got a couple others in there. Lakewood, New Jersey, Hanoi, London. I think I got all those. Vietnam. That's just so bizarre. Lakeland, Lakeland, Florida. Or Jacksonville, Florida. Sorry. Sydney, New South Wales. All Australia is all over the place there. We got there's a Laurel, Florida, Atlanta, Georgia, Frankfurt, yes, Hong Kong, yeah, that's the top 20 right there, Dublin, Ohio, Dallas, Texas. Interesting stuff there, I must say. We got Great Britain's number two, Vietnam is way up there. I don't know, who's listening to me in Vietnam? I need to at least learn some Vietnamese so I can actually say hello to these people. It might be a VPN. But I don't think anybody would use a VPN. Well, I mean, they would use a VPN to try to get out of Vietnam, but I don't think they would use a VPN. Spain, Portugal, it's still there. It seems a little odd to me. Bangladesh is also in there. Vietnam's got a pretty high count. I don't understand. How do you say hello in Vietnamese? Let's see if I can put this in here. How to say hello in Vietnamese. Let's try this, see what happens here. Oh, here it is. Go away. Will it play it? I think it'll play it. Let's see if I can play it. Allow while using the site. No, that's not what I wanted.
Đó không phải là điều tôi muốn.
No, that's not. Jeez, oh my word. No, I just lost it. There we go. Hello, okay, here we go. Let's listen to this.
Hello.
All right, let's listen to this one.
Xin chào.
Xin chào. Xin chào. Xin chào. Chào. Xin chào. Xin chào. Hello. There you go. That's, salam. Yes, hello. Chào. Chào. Xin chào. Anyway, there you go. Welcome to the show. I have a few other things. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's see if it's a breaking screen. There we go. Yeah, there we go. Okay, there we go. I got a couple video clips I want to talk about. We're talking about fraud. I think we're talking about government fraud. But anyway, that's what we're going to get into. In the meantime, we're going to play this little ditty here while we're thinking about it, I guess.
It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news, the news. According to me, it's the news,
it's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news,
it's the news.
It's the news,
it's the news, yeah.
According to me, it's the news,
it's the news.
According to me, it's the news. According to me.
Well, while we were doing that, I was I was grabbing a big swig of chai. I just burned my everything in my mouth, my throat. I just burned it all the way down. It's bizarre how it's so hot. I did heat up the cup a little bit this morning, which also helps. But yeah, that's some pretty hot stuff right there. I think I'm just gonna stick with the sweet tea for a minute because that was pretty hot. I almost screamed. But then again, once in a while I just scream anyway. So that's not a really big deal. I have that's what the little mute buttons were. Just push the button and scream. I have a couple clips to go. We're going to get into. We're going to talk about some things that are happening also, as well as the left is, their heads are spinning off, and I think they're making. I have a theory about this, about the whole Supreme Court decision and all the districting, voting district stuff. They're flipping off the handle here. What they're doing is ridiculous. What they're all saying. Now, I have a feeling they're just blowing this up for purposes of just, whoever's behind it. I think there's something else going on there. But in the meantime, let's talk about the fraud thing in Minnesota. Now, there's been another case of severe, incredible fraud going on. It is just a lack of oversight within. And now, keep in mind that what they found now with the whole thing in Minnesota is that the Waltz administration, governor of Minnesota, soon to be unemployed, he apparently, in the midst of all this stuff, allegedly, I'll say allegedly, because I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, and I'm also not a journalist. I'm just a guy that watches YouTube videos, and I regurgitate them back onto the microphone here. It's a lot of regurgitation on the microphone here. I have, apparently, this thing he did was that he actually stopped. They had like a fraud investigation department in the state. He dissolved it. He moved everybody out of it. There were people, there were some whistleblowers trying to talk about this thing for years. And it wasn't until Nick Shirley come along with his little viral videos, which is what it takes in today's world. You have to go viral. You can't just report something. You have to have a viral video. And that gets things done. Sometimes for good and sometimes for bad. We have this is interesting, this picture that they've got in the background, this thing. We've got this video we're going to play here in a little bit. I was just looking at the picture behind the news people here. That's the way they have it set up. It does not look like. That's not what the White House area, the Capitol area looks like, but they get this, they got like, it's fake, it's phony, it's AI, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, so there's more fraud been discovered now within the I think it's health, what is it, the welfare, Medicare, Medicaid, I think is what they're going after now. Because Dr. Oz has gotten involved, they've actually paused funding of some of the programs because there's been so much fraud involved. This is, and of course, people are, they're going nuts. Oh, they're taking away our health care. No, somebody else is taking your health care. See, there's a certain amount of money allotted for health care in the Medicaid, Medicare, Medicaid program. I guess it's Medicaid. And because of that, there's only so much pie there. This is where people take too much pie. You know, the economy is a whole different story. You grow the economy, so the pie gets bigger. And you say, well, they're getting such a big slice of the pie, there's nothing left for anybody. No, you can make your own. You make your own pie if you want to. That's the whole point of the whole. Real open market, supposedly capitalism. If you want to use that dirty word, it's not a dirty word, but it's crony capitalism and false capitalism is certainly a corruption of sorts, but it's a better system than anything else. The way you get to prosperity is not by taking somebody else's. You know, you provide services for somebody else. Now you might step on somebody else, some other business's toes, and because you do something better than they do, and or you just have a better marketing program. So you have this thing about this, what the problem with the Medicaid thing is that, yeah, there's a pie. and it doesn't get any bigger. They have a budget. And so these people who are taking money, defrauding the Medicaid system, are taking from other people. They could afford to do more for the people who actually need it, but they can't because the people are taking it. People are stealing it. That's the problem. And that's where the real issue comes from, in my opinion. But that's just kind of my take on the whole thing. But they don't see it that way. They don't go, oh, you're just attacking him because he's, you know, he's just retribution, whatever you want to call it. Well, whatever it is, the fraud is real. I'm for getting fraud out of, I don't care if it's a blue state or a red state. I don't care. Just get the fraud out. It's not something that's helpful for our nation and our economy and our taxpayers' dollars. It's just not a good idea. There needs to be some accountability in this as well. And I feel sure about it. Let me just put it that way. I have no evidence. I have nothing else. I have this feeling that some money was making its way back to the campaign funds of Tim Walz. If nothing, I think there's probably money channeling back to somewhere else as well. But then you have Ilhan Omar, who also was involved in some of this stuff. And she's, how do you go from having $30 million to having basically nothing? I just, there's all kinds of weirdness there going on, in my opinion. But that's, there were some singers that came in the other day and they just did this little thing.
Ilhan is going to jail. Ilhan is going to jail. Some people did something. Some people did something. Now Ilhan is going to jail. Ilhan is going to jail.
The band is joining.
Ilhan is going to jail.
Yeah.
Some people did something. Some people did something. Now Ilhan is going to jail.
Yesterday we had the live show, and I played that, and the crowd went nuts. The crowd was absolutely insane. They had me play it like 12 times. There was nobody. Nobody came in the room. Normally I do the live show, and it's usually somebody shows up in the chat. In fact, last week I think I had like five or six people at least that I noticed that made comments. Nobody even showed up in the room this time. Of course, it was a little earlier than normal. I think maybe some of those people might be West Coast or maybe time zone issues or something. I don't know what was going on there, but I can come up with all kinds of excuses. Now, let me know if you didn't get, if the podcast, yesterday's podcast, did not show up in your feed, because sometimes it doesn't. If I do the live show, I'm not sure. Typically, I repost it on Podbean. And then I also put it on Castos. But I think if I just do it live on Podbean, it's supposed to propagate onto iTunes and everything else, I think. I'm not positive about that. But that was my theory anyway. So I think it's what happened there. I probably should change that now because I'll forget. It's episode 364. Well, actually, this is going to be episode 365. The 1,165 episodes so far of the News According to Me that I've done. Total. Wow. Anyway, that's part of the deal there. We have, I don't know. I mean, looking at the statistics, I kind of wonder if it actually did get pushed out. Well, it must have gotten pushed out because... Yeah, it must have gotten pushed out. There's normal people. What is that? That's 27, it's 28, 29, 30. Oh, maybe not. Maybe it didn't get pushed out yesterday. I probably should post it. I don't know. Anyway, there was a live show yesterday. And it lasted about 45 minutes, something like that. I guess it's 40, 50 minutes probably. And talked a lot about the Ilhan Omar and the James Comey issues, as well as some other things, just kind of told some stories. So this whole all the rhetoric about the investigation going into this, of course, Tim Walz now is coming out and saying, we're going to push back on all this. know, he's still out there ranting and raving and talking about things and just been a ridiculous nut. Now, there's been some polling that has happened about the whole thing in Minnesota, and it's almost, I think it's 88% of people approve of going after the fraud there nationwide. Now, it's my opinion, again, like I was saying, it's my opinion that some of this money is channeled back to in the coffers, and they have channels, they have ways of doing things. They got all these LLCs, everybody's got LLCs out the wazoo when they get in. And that's part of the whole laundering thing that Ilhan did as well, in my opinion. They had this winery with this potential money coming in. They also had this, are Muslims allowed to drink wine? I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about alcohol and Islam. I'm not sure how that works. I need to look into that. And then, of course, you have the, you know, all the stuff with all the travel, everything that's going on there. It's just ridiculous. But that's where the taxpayers, that's why we call it Fiduciary Friday. It's just or Financial Friday, whatever it is. It's we're talking about money flowing, what's going on there. Now, having said that, I will talk about this. The one thing, or it's a concept, I just learned about this, and I've always kind of wondered about this ever since we bought a car. We bought a car back in 2004. It was an 03 leftover. So it was right at the beginning. I think it was like in January of 04. It was a 2003 Nissan Pathfinder we purchased, and we bought it brand new. Paid cash for it. Now, the and what was weird, this is the first time I'd really ever noticed it, probably because I was buying a new car. I never bought new cars before. But I felt like I was at a bank. I was at the car dealer, and I felt like I was at the bank because all they wanted to do was talk about financing. They kept talking about financing. I said, "Well, we're gonna pay cash for it. What's the best deal we can do with a cash deal?" "Well, we don't really like doing cash deals anymore. They like selling financing." There's a whole big long thing behind that, and I've learned more about that ever since. Now, typically, here's what the car dealers hate. You go in and talk about financing. They get you a price based on the financing. What you do is you go in and talk about financing the car. "Yeah, I can put down $2,000 or whatever. If I put down $2,000, I get it for that." Then what you do at the very end, now what really ticks them off is either you go to your own, you know, like your own credit union or something, or your own bank or your own credit union, and get pre-approved for the loan or whatever. Or if you have cash, you just do it that way. You just pay the cash out that way. But here's what you do. You negotiate the price based on the financing because they get all this money back from the banks. They sell that loan out and they get this, like on a $30,000 car, it's like $18,000 or $15,000 or whatever it is they get. They get like 2 points or whatever they get out of that whole thing for selling the loan. They actually get a kickback for selling the loan, which is why that's why they like to sell financing. So they're getting you into this car and getting you approved and doing that whole thing, going through. And a $30,000 car, they might say, "Well, we can give it to you for $28,000. We're going to finance it for this. And we're going to do that, blah, 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 blah." Okay, let's write that all up. Now, what you can do is you can ask them if there's any kind of fee for early payoff. Make sure that's not in there so you don't get penalized. In other words, that day, if you turn around the next day and pay it off, if they sell it to you for $28,000 and finance it for $28,000 or whatever, you turn around, you take the $28,000, you pay it off, that they're not going to penalize you for that. In some cases, they do, which I think is ridiculous. That's immoral. "I borrowed $28,000 from you, and so I'm going to pay you back the next day, and you get to charge me more for it because I paid you back." Just that seems immoral to me. But that's the world we live in. So what ends up happening, and that's the best way to buy the car because. Otherwise, they're going to go, "Well, we can't give it to you for less than 30. You're paying cash. I don't know that. Maybe 29.5 is about the best we can do, and that's without the floor mats." That's the kind of stuff they like to do to you. They just fiddle around with that kind of stuff. They're going to get their money one way or the other. They've got a baseline amount above the sticker price. Now they also get dealer incentives. They don't even talk about those. They could sell 10 cars. Not all dealerships are like this, but most, and they usually have seasonal stuff where they run through sometimes. Where the manufacturers will say, well, if you sell 10 cars, we're going to give you, you know, a $5,000 bonus back for that, just for selling the 10 cars. They could sell all those cars at their cost, and they're still going to get $10,000 or $5,000, whatever it is the manufacturer's offering. It's called a dealer incentive, just to move the cars. They know that if they move a certain number of cars, they're going to get that incentive. So they're willing to let it go out the door. Now, I'm not sure when those incentives kick in. If they've got 9 cars sold and the next day it expires and you walk in there to buy a car, they're going to give you a deal because they got to sell a car to get that. They might sell the car and make $1,000, or they can sell the car for $3,000 less and make $5,000, because they're going to, you see what I'm saying? They can get more for that. That's what they will do. So that's, we get this in, get it filed, and we get our dealer incentive. So that's how they work, all that kind of stuff. Plus, you get the financing kickbacks, all the other stuff, the bank kickbacks, everything. And then there's, of course, yearly incentives as well. There's all kinds of other things if you do enough volume. So that's kind of what they work at that point. Now, if you walk in there and you say, I'm going to finance the car, you get approved, you get all your stuff done, everything's going on, everything's all good. And then they say, okay, here's the car for $28,000, and this is what your actual, you know, they have to show you what your actual price that you're paying after the financing. Now, some of them have 0% financing. That's even better, because that means they got all the financing wrapped up in the price of the car. So you can negotiate down even further. So you get down to $26,000. Now, I had a brand new 2004 Dodge Dakota pickup truck that I bought in 2003. I bought it at the end of 2003. It was brand spanking new, right off the truck. And it was on eBay, and they had it for sale. I think they wanted $29,000 for it, if I remember correctly. I sent them an email. It was on eBay. They were listing it on eBay. It was down in North Carolina. I ended up sending them an email and said, "Hey, if you can wire you $26,000 cash. If you'll sell it for that, I'll be down tomorrow to pick it up." They were like, "No, we can't. We can't do that. No, we don't have any market. We put some of these things on eBay, at our cost." I was like, "Okay." I think I just said okay. That's all I said. Okay, and the next day I got an email back again. "Hey, we've been talking it over here. If you want this car, we can certainly do this deal." Well, now, of course, I'm pressed for time, because it's right before Thanksgiving. I just had a certain amount of time off. I was kind of pressed. I was trying to get back before Thanksgiving. This was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and I ended up wiring them the money that morning. I had to do a doctor's appointment, I think, in the morning. Ended up going straight from there to, I think I went to South Bend Airport. I believe I traveled out of there. Went to, I can't remember how I got to North Carolina. I think it was Charlotte. And I went in there. They met me in the parking lot with the paperwork. This was, you know, that night. That evening, I think around 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock, whatever it was, whatever time it was, signed the paperwork. Right there in the lobby, they gave me a temporary tag and the whole thing. I took off and drove away, my brand new truck. Started home. I ended up getting home. I think I slept for about 2 or 3 hours in a rest stop somewhere. Got home Thanksgiving morning, and I slept for several hours after that. The point was they wanted to move the volume. I think I caught them at that exact right time when that was all happening. Now, this was 20 years ago, and I think it's even worse now. It's probably more to the point of banking institutions, what they do now. I think this is even more pervasive in terms of the way they work the financing, which is why the cars are cost so much. The price of cars back then, if you went and got a small mid-sized, I don't think they sell the Dakota anymore. I don't even think they're available. But if you get a small mid-sized pickup truck now, I think it's probably in the $35,000 to $40,000 range at least, and they're not going to budge on that if you can get it for that. I think most pickup trucks in general are over $50,000. I think I'm not the average cost of a pickup truck. I'm not sure what it is, but that's the way to negotiate that kind of stuff. So what you do is you go in and you're all in for with the financing, and then once the terms are done, now either you walk out with the financing and then you pay it off right away, or you you tell them at the very end, well, you know what, instead of doing that, I'm just going to hand you a check for $28,000. And then they freak out. They get mad. They're like, because now they're out on their all their financing kickbacks, all the other stuff that they got. They're probably going to be mad at you for that. Some of them will kick you out. Sometimes they'll say, no, we can't do it for that. That's because we get financing. Then they'll admit to you, oh, well, we get financial incentives for selling the loan. And that cuts into our profit margin. We can't go below that. We're going to lose money on this. They'll always tell you they're losing money. Oh, we're losing money on that car. Yeah, you'll lose money on every car, apparently, because how you stay in business, I have no idea. You just keep losing money on everything. Anyway, yeah, car dealers. They say they won't negotiate. Now, there are some of the places that have no haggle pricing. Oh, believe me, there's haggle. You can haggle. There's all kinds of haggle going on. And you can do it if you, they'll say, oh, this is the price. It's $29,000 and that's the price and we don't move on that price. Oh, okay. Well, I have a pocket full of cash here. There's $28,000. I guess you don't want that then. Is that the deal? Well, now if you would, there's a lot of these dealers on eBay, especially that just aggravate the daylights out of me because I ask them up front now all the time. I say, are there any other fees involved in this price? They'll say buy it now price, $8,000. Oh, okay, so I can buy it. So I just send you a check for $8,000. I get the car. Well, no, because there's fees. We have all these fees, for preparation fee. It's actually $12,000. That has happened to me. I made an offer at one point. I said, out the door, I will bring $8,000 in cash and out the door. I want to be out the door. Sales tax, temporary plate, dealer fees, all the other stuff. I'm driving that car away, not owing you anything. And here's $8,000. That's the deal. Oh, no, we can't do that. I said, well, how much would I have to have? You have to have $11,500. So the price is $8,000, but you're getting $3,500? How do you do that? We're not just talking, 5% here. We're talking a huge amount of money above and beyond the asking price of the car. But they get people like this all the time because they get them looped into this idea that I'm getting the car for $8,000. By the time they're out the door, it's $11,500. Where'd all that money go? It's like they do that all the time. They do it to people all the time. And so I don't play those games. And you have to look at the fine print on some of their stuff. And I ask them right up front. So I give you $8,000. What else? What other fees are involved? Some will say there's no other fees. Well, so then you ask for a temporary tag. Well, that'll cost you $50. Okay, I'm willing to pay for that. That's not something they have to provide. I was buying the car, not the plate. But if someone could just give it to you free, that does, okay, we'll give you a 30-day tag for free. Okay. Got a deal. I'll be there. I typically have purchased cars more from individuals now but than dealerships just because of that, because there's so many people out there that are scamming you in terms of the... And it's not so much that the car is bad. It's a deceptive practice that I don't like. I do not like that at all. If you want $13,000 for the car, just ask $13,000 for the car. Out the door, we're done. Don't tell me it's $8,000 and charge $5,000 more. It's just immoral, in my opinion. But anyway. Yeah. Let's talk about let's say we got another segment here. You know what? If you want to do this, you can.
Seven, four. But wait, there's more. 651. We're almost done. 76 and 85. Text that number. It's alive. Text that number.
Don't be a loser.
Call that number. Don't be a loser.
574-651-7685. You can call that number. Text that number. You can go to google.com/voice and google.com/voice. In case you don't understand that. That was 574-651-7685. Leave a message, leave a voicemail, or you can leave a text message at that number. And I'll ignore it forever. It's just, it's a great thing. You can feel like you're making some kind of impact and you're not. But that's, you know, it's the feeling of making an impact that you're really looking for anyway. That's where all the endorphins flow. We have a couple of things to get into. We're going to talk a little about this, the issue of this whole gerrymandering thing and what's going on with that. I can't remember what this, is it Caitlin? I don't think it's Caitlin, whatever her name is. This is the one that's absolutely just, okay, I want you to listen to her voice. When she talks, this is the voice of a person who is absolutely, I guarantee you, this lady is probably on serious medication, first of all. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know. I'm just making my suspicions. These are my suspicions. She probably has all kinds of emotional baggage, all kinds of stuff going on, all kinds of issues. And I just know this by listening to her voice. When I hear her speak, it is... Yeah. This is courtesy of Devorah Darkins. He had some content on his show. I'm pulling off his what he pulled out. But this is... Oh, what is this? MSNBC? MS Now. This is MS Now. Deadline White House. I think that they do that on purpose. Deadline White House. That's what they're talking about here. This was a live broadcast at 5:38, I think, a couple days ago. And they're talking about this, the whole thing with the they're making their reaction to the Supreme Court. This illegitimate Supreme Court. It's no longer the Roberts Court. It's the Trump Court. Whenever the court says something they don't like, then they... Oh, it's illegitimate. And the next thing you know, they'll make a ruling that favors them. Oh, this is exactly this. Oh, the Supreme Court. See, even the Supreme Court held this up. Well, you mean the illegitimate Supreme Court held it up? I mean, if it's illegitimate, then why don't you do something about it? Yeah,
we're going to put 12 more judges on there that are...
See, the court system, if you want to change the law, change the law. The court just looks at the law. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to just look at the law, make a ruling on it. This is what the law says. They're not supposed to rule based on empathy, based on feeling, based on what the people want. That's not what the Supreme Court's not there for that. Sorry. I mean, that sounds terrible, but it's not what the people want. Well, but it's what the law says. And the law was written by people who were representing the people. They were representatives that made the laws. And they represent them based on the constitutional rights. You can't violate anybody's rights. Of course, now they're all saying, my civil rights have been, my silver rights. I thought, I need to find that. It was, what's the guy's name? Gaston, is it Jeffrey Gaston? What's the guy's name? He's a comedian. Oh my gosh, he's so funny. What is his name? Stand up. What is this guy's name? Jeff Gaffigan. No. I thought his name started with a... His last name starts with a G, I'm pretty sure. What's his name? Is it Jeff? No, Don Foxworthy, no. Oh man, what is the guy? I can't remember the guy's name. He's so funny. He plays kind of this very simple-minded individual. I don't know. This just gets weird. We'll just go and do this search, see if I can find here real quick. Got to be something here. That's not that guy. Not that guy. Not that. No, that was female. Oh, here we go. This is him.
What I eat is that's.
The that's there. This is the guy. Come on. What is this guy's name? I cannot remember if I could find, if I knew his name, I could look him up. This is, it doesn't have his name. All it has is, this is just a Netflix joke. Netflix is a joke. Oh, nobody's talking. Nate. Yeah, here we go. Stand up. I'll type in Nate. That's going to get me all his stuff. Bargetts. Yeah, he did this thing. He talked about the Civil War. And he calls it the Silver War. It's hilarious. In fact, I think I could type this in here probably. Silver War. Here it is. This has got to be it. Here, this is it. Okay, we're going to play this.
Silver War. That's how I say it. Instead of civil, I go Silver War. Because, you know, look, that might be on me. All right. I'm not. I tell you, I don't even know anything about the Civil War. I don't know anything about history. And I can tell because every history movie I watch on the edge of my seat.
That's pretty funny stuff. Anyway, so he talks about the Silver War. So his silver rights have been violated. That's how that works. We have, we're going to listen to this lady. Anyway, we'll get back to our thing here. We're going to listen to this lady talk. She, I don't want to push the button. I can't stand to listen to her talk. Everything's melodramatic. Everything's so, here she goes. Let's listen to it here.
That is still with me. That happened 24 hours ago around this table. That was our friend Eddie Glaude's profound response to yesterday's Supreme Court ruling, in which they dealt a crippling blow, essentially dismantling the Voting Rights Act and its decades-long protections against racial discrimination. That today is already having consequences. Should not be off the news just yet, because it's already damaging our democracy.
All right, now, of course, it's just more hyperbolic rhetoric. And it's protecting the civil rights of people being able to vote. And just because we're talking about districting, we're talking about representative rights. You can still go to the polls and vote. Everybody can still, nobody has their rights taken away. You can still vote. We're talking about representation here. When they draw the line specifically because of racial demographics, that's not constitutional. What the SCOTUS, basically the Supreme Court of the United States, they decided that this is race based and it's illegal because you can't do things based on race like that. And so what ends up happening is, instead of just being based on population or based on general population, they base it on this, all this. You'd be surprised at what some of the district lines look like. Some of these districts that they draw up. It's obvious where they've got, okay, on this side of the street, you got this, and on that side of the street, you got that. That's where the line's drawn on the streets. And it wanders around to find all the right houses that have all the Democrats. So that way they get more representation in that area. That's how they do their districts over there. I personally just think the district should be based on counties, county lines. Just make them that way. Just do it. I just divide them up, whatever. Five counties. That's your district. There you go. Whatever it is. But that's not the way they do it. They do it based on, you know, population, demographics, and of course that's why they use the census. There shouldn't be. Should be based on any kind of racial thing. That's the point of the Democrats. This decades long protections of our civil rights, discrimination stuff, and then you have Chuck Schumer. Everything's Jim Crow. This is Jim Crow. Everything's Jim Crow. And anytime there's anything, Jim Crow, by the way, was a Democrat. He was in the Democrat South. Again, that's just important to remember that. And we have Sonny Hostin, or whatever her name is. Where is it here? I think it's right around here. So it's right about there. She's talking about how her father, born in 1949, he lived in segregation and lived in, If he was born in 19, I was kind of thinking about this. If he's born in 1949, before he even got out of the house much on his own, he probably would have been about 1960. And there wasn't a whole, I mean, that, and then he's 14, what is he? No, he's 11 years old at that point. 11 years old in 1960. I don't know how much, you know, I don't know. Seems a little odd to me that this guy went through so much racial stuff. Now, there were some things in the 60s, don't get me wrong, especially in the South. But to me, it seems a little bit... Now, if he was born in 1940, I could understand why he went through some stuff. Even 1950, but 1949. I mean, he had to have been, yeah, I don't know. This just seems kind of weird to me. And yet they, you know, here she is touting this and how, and of course, this is a woman who is a millionaire sitting in a chair with an audience, cameras, all the nicest clothes on, talking about how she has fewer rights now than her daughter's going to have fewer rights than she had. What rights have you had taken away? It's just first of all, and again, how is this taken our, it's the one thing that one gal was saying there at the very end, our democracy is, you know, it's damaging our democracy. How exactly has it done that? Stay with me for a minute, because after I play this, I want to talk a little bit about what I think is actually happening here. What's going on? How they're going to do this at this point?
Okay.
Let's see. Here we go. Let's see your divorce.
I can tell you, wow, as a black woman, that my father was born in 1949. He remembers segregated schools. He remembers segregated water fountains. He remembers that he did not have full civil rights. And he told me when I turned 40 years old that I was the first person in his family to enjoy full civil rights. And he is still alive today, and I am still alive today, and I have been discriminated against. And now I have to tell my children that they have less civil rights than I did when I was born.
That's true.
That is disgusting, despicable, and I am devastated by this particular Supreme Court decision, even though, Whoopi, we did know this was coming.
We knew what about when?
I mean,
all right. Civil rights. What? You have less civil rights than you had. She has less civil rights than you had. Now, first of all, when you were 40, your father told you this. Your father had to have been almost 60 years old. Your father never has sat down. Before you were 40, he never sat you down and had this conversation about civil rights? Never told you about any of this stuff? He told you that when you were 40. He had to be in his 50s at least, or maybe 60s. I just, you know, where was he? You guys never had the conversations, I guess. It was interesting, though. So then, of course, now she's 40, so that means she was probably born, she's probably younger than I am, probably born in the 70s, 60, maybe late 60s at least. He was born in 49. 20 years later, it would be, was it 69? So, yeah, you know, he may have been 18 when she was born, so that may be, you know, maybe mid-60s at the most, at the least. I don't think he had his, since he was a teenager when he had. Anyway, that, which happens, but I mean, it's especially back then. But nonetheless, I
have been discriminated against.
I've been discriminated against too, lady. Realize that? As a white man, yes, I was discriminated against.
Discrimination can't happen to white men.
Yes, it does. The very definition of discrimination is based on your gender or the color of your skin. I was a white man who had way more flight time hours than anybody else around me at the time. But they were hiring women and minorities with way less flight time than I had. wasn't based on experience. It wasn't merit-based. It was based on gender and the color of their skin. I got passed over. I knew I was never even going to get an interview. I didn't even try at that point. All the people I knew who were white men were getting passed over time after time after time. This is back in the early 2000s. They said it wasn't happening. Oh, it's nothing. It's not happening. This isn't happening. We don't have quotas. No, there's no quota here. No quotas. No quotas to see here. But it's pretty obvious that nobody was making it off the flight line. As an FO, as a first officer, they never made captain. The minorities and the females that were pilots among us never made it to captain because they were getting hired right away by majors as first officers. That's what was happening. And it's, I don't know what else to tell you about that. That was my experience. I saw it every day. I'd be changing airplanes and some female would get off the airplane and say, I just got hired by United. I just got hired by American. Oh, great. Oh, great for you. I'm glad for them. Absolutely glad for them. But it was frustrating when you have 5,000 hours of flight time, 6,000 hours of flight time, and they've got 1,500. How does that happen? Yeah. And yet these people sitting in their little privileged little seat there are telling you that they're being discriminated against and life is, they're down for the struggle. Life is tough. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's kind of what's going on. With all that. Hey, we're coming up on the weekend here. I guess this is the last day of the week, first day of the month. We have Shabbat Shalom. We have a few things to talk about for next week. In the meantime, we're going to let's just go out on this. We'll talk about the show here something.
It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
Yeah, according to me,
it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, according to me.
All right, as we ease into the weekend, I hope all of you have had a great week. It's been an interesting week for me. I'm sure it's been an interesting week for you. Everything's interesting. All kinds of interesting things happening. We have next week on the show, we are going to have, of course, Mishmash Monday. I'll be batching it next week. I got to take care of everything around here. All by my lonesome. Wife is heading off to on a little trip. We have so it'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting week. I know that all the way up until Thursday there will be normal shows. I think I'll be able to do a show on Friday as well next week. I think that everything's going to be normal after that. The entire month of May, I think it's going to be that way. I'm not positive, but we'll see how that all goes. Some things to get done over the weekend. Lots of stuff to do today, actually, because we got a lot of cleaning up around the house here to do. But you know, stuff we need to get done. Anyway, that's the case. Next week we'll have more about what's going on with the weekend, and we'll talk a little bit more about probably talk about Iran, what's happening there. Might have some more clips than normal next week, especially on Monday. In the meantime, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining along, liking, subscribing, all that stuff. God bless. See ya.